Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated August 18th, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
Oh, going pretty well, Lord Baldrith. Always happy to be the weekend and always happy to talk about the game and all the wonderful things that are happening in it. And how's yourself?
Doing very well as well. Aside from the excessive work schedule, it's great to get into the game when I can, and the new release is awesome.
I know, it's wonderful. I mean, I had a pretty busy week this week too, with everything and all sorts of things happening and grandkids and stuff, and I haven't had a chance to get into the game myself this week, which is pretty tragic. But yeah, look, it's always great when we get into it, and there's so much new and so much exciting stuff happening every day.
Yes, I was excited because I did a claim on my bank, and some of those things came in, some of those new telethon things, like the fire statue and stuff, and I put some of that out. It was great.
Oh, they are pretty awesome, aren't they? Yeah, I've seen a couple of those around, and really, they are a fantastic visual effect.
They did a great job on them. They're really big, though, so you got to try to find a place for them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sort of a bit hard to put them in your living room, isn't it?
Yeah, you kind of want to put those outside. They might start a fire.
Yeah, there is that. That's right. Now, that's something new they're going to have to put into the game. They'll have to put a fire department.
Oh, you know, that would be a very nice touch, you know, the fire department of Owl's Head.
That's right, yeah. A bunch of dedicated NPCs with a wagon, with a couple of water barrels on the back, come to put out the fire when you've put your fire statues in the wrong place.
Hey, that would be really fun to see that little truck come down your street and start getting the hose out and spraying down your house.
Wouldn't it be great? It'd be less fun to see your house go up in flames, wouldn't it?
Well, as long as I got it out before too much damage was done, it would be pretty cool.
It would be. Yeah, that'd be nice. Oh, well. But they keep on adding awesome things, and I'm really impressed with the way it's going. And look, from everything we've read, it's going to get even better.
Yes, all the new features that are in their minds and they're thinking about are all things that we've really been looking forward to, so I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. But in the meantime, we've just got, you know, keep going. Week by week, we have another update, which is number 241. There's been a lot of updates, hasn't there?
Yeah, I know. They're just flying by. We're going to be to 1,000 before we know it here.
Yeah, that's right. So this week, we're making Crooked Shank. We've got Norgard Garments, 44 questions, a free trial, hiring a web developer, rent flash sale, nice, community spotlight, and more. So a bit of good stuff in the news this week.
Yeah.
Great. And first up, this is the making of Crooked Shank. Nice, and it's a place I'd never heard of. Like a lot of these places they talk about, you go past these places and never stop to think about them. But then suddenly they spotlight them, or they talk about them, and you realize this is a part of the map I'd never even heard of.
I haven't either. Actually, this Crooked Shank is one I don't think I've run across.
No, nor me. Okay. But, as they say, we're focusing the next few releases on building these lower tier scenes near the cities, along the paths of truth and courage. And there have been clones of other scenes, so now they're going to be replaced with original scenes. They're going to look a lot nicer, which is wonderful.
That'll be great.
It will be awesome. Release 46, one of these will be the Crooked Shank. It's a mountainous area in the Verdantis region. Okay. So, yeah, roughly know where it is. That's up in the northwest, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's probably over by those mines and stuff. There's a bunch of little cities over there.
Yes, that's right, yes. Yeah, I've been down the Verdantis mines, and they're quite interesting.
Yeah, and then have you been to the cloned version of them?
I think so, yes. You mean the new version?
Or the uncloned, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, uncloned, yes. Yeah, they get more interesting, don't they? And Oh, there's passageways, there's railways, there's lifts, there's everything. It makes it sort of interesting and challenging to fight all the nasties there. And yeah, there doesn't seem to be quite as much ore as there used to be. That's a bit that hurts a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to those newer mines, I would venture to guess you're more going there to explore than to get a lot of ore.
Yeah, that's right. And I think they are trying to throttle things a little bit. It's probably to make crafting a little bit more important and a bit more valuable and a bit more prestigious. Because I met somebody in-game the other week. Really nice guy. And he said, look, you really need some better armor. And how about some hardened leather? We can do that for you and give you more resistance, damage resistance. I said, yeah, okay, well, that sounds great. Good idea. I mean, I've got animal hides coming out my ears, so I can make leather. And that's fine. And then came the job of looking for recipes for hardened leather. And I've got a horrible feeling that they're going to be pretty hard to find.
Is that a new recipe, or that's just the normal hardened leather recipe?
Normal. I've heard via Discord that you can get that in Arteris. The crafting people in Owl's Head, would you believe, they've gone.
Oh, they got rid of the Owl's Head crafting guys?
They appear to have gotten rid of them. I mean, I rocked up there at night, and I said, well, okay, right, it's night time, they're sleeping, whatever, hung around half the next day, they never turned up. I said, great, they've been fired.
You know, they deserve to be fired, because they didn't have any of the new recipes.
Well, there you go. If you don't perform, you will be fired. Just like half the staff in the White House.
Well, my normal procedure is to go to Arteris to get all the new recipes anyway, because I gave up on Owl's Head a couple of releases ago. It was just too much of a waste of time.
Oh, right. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, I believe that I can get a recipe to make hardened leather. I next need to make hardened leather yards of and straps. And I don't know whether they're around or whether I'll have to hope for a drop.
Weren't they saying that some of the new recipes are only going to be drops and you can't buy them?
They did. Yes. Yes. So really, the people who got in early, the people who really went for crafting and bought up all the recipes, they're going to be kings of the crafting domain, because everybody will have to go to them and say, can you make some stuff for me? Because I can't do it.
Well, that's true. You could put it on your vendor, too, all that hardened leather and stuff they need to craft with, and make a fortune.
You could. That's right. Yes. And we will get to the situation where people who want stuff, they will have to search out other players who can do it and say, yeah, can you do this for me? Because not everybody will have the ability.
That's right. And that makes some crafters more special than others, right?
It does. That's right. Yeah. I mean, you can search out a crafter who's been doing this for 1,000 years, figuratively speaking, and who's GM'd in everything and can turn out real top quality product, and they say, yeah, I'll do it for you. That's fine. I'll just charge you a bit for the service, and that's how they'll make their income.
And that's what we need. We need the ability for crafting to make us some money. It seems like right now you just make stuff and sell it at a loss. So we need another way.
That's right. So maybe this is one step towards that. So if I don't find any recipes for hardened leather yards and straps, I will be heading for a crafter.
Yeah, I've probably got some of those things, because tailoring's one of the things I did for the most part, and so I think I bought up all those basic recipes at one time.
Fantastic. Good on you. Yes, I probably should have done that myself, but you don't think of that at the time.
Well, I was making a crafting spreadsheet too, so I kind of bought it up just to, you know, figure out what the ingredients are, and then I figured, okay, if I buy it now, when it changes, it'll automatically change in my book, so I don't have to worry about it.
Ah, awesome. That's great. Anyway, we were talking about Crooked Shank, weren't we?
Oh, we were, weren't we? Yeah.
We were, yes. Okay. So, yeah, they're going to update this in release 46. And as Travis Koleski, Vascorp Poor, says, while looking for an elven village in Forgotten Vale, I seem to have misread my map and stumbled upon a quaint human settlement tucked along a bend in the road. Locals kept their neighbourhood very well tended, and while not excessively talkative, they were happy to point me to locations of note within their tidy little town. That sounds very nice, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. This welcoming arch marked the entrance to the main winding avenue through what the locals dubbed Crooked Shank. Interesting name. I wonder whether it's got a crooked main street.
Something's crooked about it.
Yeah, I reckon. I hope the mayor's not crooked.
Yeah, I hope not.
There seemed to be a lot of planting and construction, and truth be told, I couldn't really tell how old the town was. Okay, it looks nice from the screenshots there, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful little village.
It is. It's lovely. And look, got some pictures of the roads and the houses there. Looks very nice. And he says, at this point, I wandered into the lovely backyards of some of the inhabitants. Notice they all seemed to share a penchant for gardening. A lot of gardening going on. Great.
Cool.
Hey, we may be able to get supplies, reagents, foodstuffs there.
Yeah, it might be a special place to get certain kind of seeds, maybe.
It might be, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they might grow a lot of stuff that you need when you're starting off. That'd be an awesome place to visit.
Yeah, I wonder if eventually there's going to be like a special trainer for gardening that you got to go visit.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yes. Yeah. And they're talking about regionalizing economies, aren't they? So if you want to get a particular thing, you will need to go to the other side of the map, because that's where it grows and that's where it's harvested or whatever.
Yeah, so you'd need to talk to somebody about learning how to grow that or something. You know, that'd be another thing they could add to the agriculture tree, you know, just learning how to do it.
That's right, exactly. Okay. And he says, then the mayor of Crooked Shank himself appeared, hurried me away for a visit in his home. That looks a rather nice house, doesn't it?
Yeah, it almost looks like one of those mansions.
It does. Oh, we've got a lovely grand piano. Very nice.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
Aren't they? Wow. Nice. And thanks to the music system and the sheet music, we can play it. I can't play a piano in real life, but I can in game.
Oh no, your character is automatically an expert at music in this game.
Isn't it awesome?
It's fun.
It's great, okay. And the mayor then directed me to the lovely Two Fountains Inn further down the road, though he warned they might not have any vacancies and thanked me for my brief visit. And I'm wondering if that picture at the end is the Two Fountains Inn, which, yeah, looks okay, doesn't it?
Yeah, isn't that, it's one of those rustic houses, right?
I think it is, yes. And it's sort of, yeah, a bit overhanging and looks as if it's almost in danger of falling down, but not quite.
Yeah, I always worry about those houses. What kind of shape are they in?
Yeah, that's right. But somehow they seem to stay up, so that's great. Hey, that'll be wonderfully worth looking at. That'll be great. And he says, thanks for following. There's more soon. So it's nice to see the development as it takes place, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is.
That's great. Okay, and next item, well, we got more news on these new Norgard garments. And don't they look pretty special?
Yeah, they're getting some new ones. That's pretty colorful.
It's very colorful. And as he says, Fletcher Kinnear says, we've begun creating the Viking-inspired clothing for the NPCs in the northwest regions of Novia, including Norgard and Verdantis. And, of course, the Vikings, who lived in the Norway region, they were in a cold climate, and they would have worn thick, furry stuff, so they've gone in that direction.
He needs a hat there for his bald head. Where's that at?
Yeah, he absolutely does, doesn't he? He's going to get a very, very cold head, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Or at least some hair. I mean, come on.
Yeah, where's your hair? Wouldn't you want to grow hair in that climate?
Yes. Yes, maybe we'd better not be too rude to the follicularly challenged.
That's true. He might just be bald, you know. Might not be anything you can do about it.
That's right. I mean, poor Star might think we're making fun of him.
Oh, that's, yeah, you know, we didn't say anything about Star, did we?
We did not. We absolutely did not, no.
Not a word, no.
No, okay, all right. Okay, this will complement the already established architectural character of the region and help to better define the area as a whole. So it'll be great, you know, different areas and regions of the map will be absolutely culturally, ethnically, visually diverse. It'll be wonderful.
You can tell just by looking at the town people where you're at.
That's right, yeah. And hey, if you're like me and get lost easily anyway, at least you'll know what town you're in, probably.
Yeah, well, if you log out one night and can't remember where you were, you can tell.
That's right, okay. And he says we're creating garments for guards, citizens, and merchants and nobility, all of whom courageously display the color yellow, which everybody knows drives the kobolds mad. Or so they say. And if you believe that, you believe anything.
It would be nice if it gave you some kind of a buff against kobolds by wearing yellow because it makes them like dazed or something.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? And I believe people have tried it and it doesn't do squat.
Yeah, probably just makes them tougher, huh?
Probably does, yeah, that's right. Oh, well, but still, it's like a snake oil salesman. There's always someone who's prepared to believe it.
Well, that's true. That's a way to sell your yellow wares, that's for sure.
It is, that's right. Okay, for release 44, we updated the guards. Release 45, we're going to update the other NPCs. And we'll create player wearable stuff. So that's nice. You can walk around looking like this too.
And that'd be perfect for a snowy city.
It would be absolutely awesome. And here we go. There's a quick update here. A few lovely screenshots. They are really nice. At least they look as if they're very warm.
Yeah, I don't know if it's me, but I think that's a different hairstyle than I've seen on that girl.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she actually looks quite nice, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's very cool. It's very Viking looking. I like it.
It is. It's lovely. Yes. Because the Nordic people, they were traditionally blonde, weren't they?
Yes, they were. I don't know what causes that, but yeah, they always were blonde with the light skin and the light eyes and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Okay. So, look, a few of these guys are sensible. They're wearing hats. That's good. I'm glad to see that.
None of them have that much hair, though, do they?
No, they don't. Okay, maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe you need to shave your head a bit close if you're a Viking.
Yeah, it gives you that real man look, huh?
It does. And it stops people grabbing you by the hair and swinging you around.
That's true. They don't have that defense on you anymore.
That's right. Okay, but that is really good. They're doing a great job on all the character art, and I really like that. It'll be good to see that in-game.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Terrific. Okay, next item, we have a sneak peek video of Middle Downs. Yeah, and that is good too.
Cool.
Another area of significant development for R45 is the South Paladus region. Players can explore the updated scenes of Middle Downs and South Broken Road. It's a hilly tier 1 scene near the mountains with a network of burial mounds and an abandoned village. It is a tier 2 scene. It's got a winding road through the mountain full of various encounters, including plunderers and undead. So there you go. If you're a newish adventurer and you want to improve your experience and fight some bandits and undead and whatever, but not be too overwhelmed, that is going to be a really good place to go.
Yeah, and that'll be fun to just take a look at, even with your higher level people, to see, what, maybe I can bring some low level friends over here.
That's right, exactly. And they've got a little video there. I took a look at that. It's only a 28 second long teaser, but it looks really good.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, very nice. So there's a link to that. in the news release. Have a look at that, and I'm sure you'll be impressed. Very, very nice. Okay, moving along. The next item is the post-mortem missed questions. And Star's been doing this lately. It's an awesome service. It really is. Now, I have no idea how long it takes him. But it must take him a fair while. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we kind of hope he had somebody there helping him, you know, kind of reading him, you know, what to type, or somebody doing the typing. You know, that would just be a lot of help.
Oh, it would. It'd be awesome. But yeah, he's, as he says, after the R-44 post-mortem, they had more than 20 pages of questions left unanswered. And because they believe so much in what they're doing and communicating with us, the community, they wanted to try to answer every question that was ever answered. So, okay, if they didn't get to answer them live on the telephone, here it is, they're all written out, which is absolutely awesome. And so as he says, here are the questions we didn't have time to get to during the LB birthday telethon. I tried my best to answer these with help from the rest of the team. So, oh, that's good. He got some help. That's great. But some we just don't have details yet to provide. Probably won't have time to do any follow-ups to these. Yeah, that's sort of understandable, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. The community did a great job assisting this telethon to make sure we didn't miss a single question. Yeah, July is a crazy busy month for us, with R43 just having gone live, RTX, Comic Con, and the Seed Invest campaign. So please forgive the brevity of some of my answers. Gee, I'm grateful that he answered them at all.
Any answer is a good thing, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And he deleted a bunch of duplicated questions and also deleted any that were answered with the Q3 post or with the release of R44. So, yeah, if it's been duplicated or it's already covered, fine, delete those. And he deleted questions that were super open-ended, so it really didn't make a lot of sense, were super vague, or were needlessly confrontational. Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. I mean, if somebody asks a question like, why don't you idiots get on with the job and make a quality game? Yeah, that's probably not going to be answered.
Yeah, what could you say to that? You know, that's just kind of a dumb question, really.
Well, it is, that's right. And we've observed over the last few years, they're doing their absolute best. Things are coming into shape. There are still things out there that need to be attended to. And optimization is a work in progress. And graphics are a work in progress, they say, although they're getting really good, in my opinion.
The graphics are great. I don't know why anybody would have a problem with those.
No, nor me. Some people still complain. They have said themselves that, you know, the trees that you go to harvest, the pine and the maple trees that you can actually cut down, that visual is a placeholder from Kickstarter days. And it's probably one of the oldest visuals in the game. So they'll probably get around to tidying that up one day.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping they will make it so the trees look like the kind of tree it is, if nothing else.
Well, that's right, yes. So look, we're living with some stuff that's a bit old and a bit dated, but on balance, I think it's getting pretty darn good.
Yeah, the details and stuff in the game, they're great. You know, the walls and the whole forest look, they've done a good job on the basic graphics of the game. It's just, you know, the fine things to adjust they're still working on.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And, well, there's a whole bunch of questions here, and it's probably far too many to go through. One interesting one said regarding NPC farmer, vendor, and seeds changes. It said stock seed selections were redone for farmer NPCs. Mandrake and Nightshade were taken away. What are the plans? And the answer is, well, they're still on other merchants. They're just regionalized. So they're not on every merchant. And this is probably part of their plan to regionalize things. You can get stuff, but there will only be some parts of the world that you can get them, and you're going to have to travel and explore and search.
I've always wondered if they're going to go a step further than that on gardening and make it so you can only grow certain crops in certain kind of climates.
Oh, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
That would be, you know, a little more realistic, but I don't know if it would be good for the game or not. That's the thing I would wonder.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, possibly realistic. Yes, because, hey, you can imagine in the northern climes where it's cold and frozen and frosty and stuff, that things mightn't grow so well as in a southern subtropical area.
That's right. Yeah, the kind of stuff you grow in the snow is what, like underground stuff, like potatoes and things like that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, but a more delicate stuff, I don't know, maybe garlic, maybe nightshade. Yeah, it mightn't grow so well. So, yeah, it might localize stuff. And cotton is only going to grow where there's lots of water. Maybe it's not going to grow at all in a desert terrain.
Yeah, you're probably not going to grow apples in the cold either. They like kind of humid, right? Or something like that?
That's right, yes. Wow, okay. Don't give them ideas.
Well, it would make our fruits and vegetables a little more expensive to sell, so we might do better in that part of the game.
Well, we might. And that, in turn, might be a stimulus to trade routes, as people have talked about from time to time. If you make or grow or harvest something in one corner of the map, you can transport it to another corner of the map and sell it.
Yeah, a place where you can't get it. That would be a great way to make money.
It would be an awesome way to make money. And, of course, you'd have to go through control points. And, of course, you might have to go through PvP zones where other people would be waiting to hijack you.
Yeah, there's always a lot of danger when you're traveling the world.
There is. Okay. All right, we should stop giving them ideas.
Yeah, they've got too many ideas as it is. We'll just leave it there.
That's right. Okay. So, if anybody is interested, there is a link to the forum post where really there are several pages and like hundreds of questions that are answered. And any information, all information that you want, you will find it there. And they're really trying to give as much information as they can. Alrighty, moving on. Hey, Portalarium is doing some more hiring. They're getting bigger and better. Isn't that great?
That's very great.
Nice. You know, I noticed they're not mentioning their sound engineer anymore, so maybe they found one.
Hey, yeah, I can't wait to see the introduction then.
That would be great. That's good. But now they want a web developer. Okay, this looks exciting. So they currently have an opening. Qualifications are, well, minimum 5 years industry experience. Okay, I missed out on that one.
Yeah.
Nix experience. That's OpenBSD or Linux. Missed out on that. I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that word either.
Right. Web development experience. You need to know all about PHP web services and JavaScript. I know how to say them, so that's a start. Maybe I could get hired on that.
If all you're doing is reading about it, yeah.
Yeah, right. Relational database architecture experience. Oh my god, MySQL preferred, good. Okay, server deployment and cluster orchestration with virtual and or dedicated machines. And next bit's exciting, I think, server load balancing, traffic prioritization. To me, this says that they're anticipating increases in server load and they need someone who knows how to manage it.
Yes, that's definitely a good thing to prepare for.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, there would be nothing worse than 50,000 or 100,000 people logging onto the game at release and the server's only equipped to handle 2 or 3 or 5 or 10,000.
Oh, yeah. Nothing is worse to people than lag. They will quit the game faster than you can even think.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And, yeah, there've been the odd occasion when either the server's gone down or game's crashed or something like that, and you're trying to get on, and yeah, you're number 85 in the queue. Yeah, people would not take that well.
No, yeah, when you're trying to play and you can't get on because of a waiting list, yeah, that's no fun.
No, no. So, as far as my understanding tells me, I think they're going in the absolute right direction. This is great. They want someone with extensive experience with server security, strong debugging skills. Okay, able to fix things that don't work. That's wonderful. And be able to work in an unstructured, non-hierarchical environment. In other words, I think me being a self-starter and, you know, have initiative. And that's what all the teams seem to have, so that's awesome. And if you've got any or more of these skills, you've got no SQL experience, strong C or C++ skills, Windows programming, ASP.NET, Mac development. Ooh, even the Apple people get a look in. Very nice. And MMO game development experience and a minimum of at least one shipped game. Okay, if you know anybody who has those skills, please get them to submit their resume to jobs@portalarium.com, because they would love to hear from them. And we want this to happen because it's going to make the team stronger.
That's for sure.
Beautiful. Okay, next item. The free trial test number 5 is running. Beautiful. August 9 to 30. And it's going to go right through to the 30th. Yep. And they will be gathering data about uptake and drop-off and conversions, etc. And I've seen a few visitors around in the game, so it's good. I hope there are a lot of people who are taking advantage of it.
Yes, I hope so too. I hope people are having fun too.
Yep, me too. And look, as they say here, it allows you to play the entire game in any of the online modes, with a few key differences. You just can't make any permanent difference. You can't buy property or trade or stuff like that. But if you like the game, and we hope that people do, stick around and kick in your $45 minimum and get permanent access to the game. And that would be lovely if we got many, many more players. Okay, and as they say, join us in New Britannia for free. Now, you can't get a better deal than free, can you?
No, free's the best price.
It is. It's absolutely the best price. Okay. And for anybody who's confused or discouraged or whatever, just try to hang in there. Remember that the game is not quite finished yet. The new user experience is ratcheting up and it's getting better by the day. And there's a whole raft of community people out there who are willing, eager, and waiting to help new players. And if you need some help, if you're feeling confused or lost, just shout and people will be there to help.
Lots of helpful people in this game, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Okay. And next item, we have DevCom. Nice. Gamescom DevCom panels are announced. As part of our new partnership with Travian, we're going to have a strong presence at the DevCom part of Gamescom in Cologne, Germany, next week. Richard Garriott, Lord British, will be on two panels, including a panel with our sister Travian project, Crowfall. So that's going to be exciting.
Cool.
And the two panels evidently are crowdfunding, publishing, and cowboys, Texas meets Bavaria. Well, that's sort of appropriate, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So the boy from Texas comes to meet the lads from Germany. From crowdfunding to global publishing, the journey of two Texan indie studios on how to live up to backers' expectations, after an extraordinary Kickstarter success, keep focus in the project, and move to global publishing with the collaboration of a Bavarian publisher. So that's the whole life story of Portalarium. Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's going to be great. So if anybody just happens to be going to Cologne next week, that's not quite on my agenda, but there must be somebody who's going there. Drop in, and it'll be fascinating.
Probably got a lot of people that live in that area too, right?
I reckon. We've got actually quite a good German fan base, I believe, which is wonderful to see.
It is. There's just people all over the world playing this game. It's cool.
It is. It's totally cool. And honestly, I think the more we get, the better. And I mean, not only is it promoting the game to a wider audience, it's promoting understanding, acceptance, and community of a whole bunch of like-minded players from all over the world.
Yeah, plus it's fun to game with people from other parts of the world, because you get to kind of know them and talk to them and learn about them. It's fun.
It is fun. It's great. Yes, gets you out of your own little corner, and you, as you say, you meet people from other places, and you just enrich each other a little bit. And that's great.
It is.
Okay, so yeah, J. Todd Coleman, Gordon Walton, Richard Garrett, and Lars Jansen, they're holding an open discussion with the audience. And that's on Tuesday, August 22nd at 16:30 to 17:30. Nice. That'll be local time, obviously. Okay. And the golden age of games is now. How to rise to the occasion. Explore to create. Richard Garrett discusses how in his 43-plus year game development career, he's been inspired to and by exploration to create lasting intellectual property, as well as reach the final frontier himself. Nice. On Wednesday, August 23, at 1500 to 1600. So, look, if anybody is there or can get there, well worth going to. Okay, and Shroud is at PAX Dev. If you're attending PAX Dev, yes, be sure to see Starlong's talk, Evolution of Crowd Sharing, Sourcing, Funding, and Equity, at 11:45 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on August 30 in the Fifth Avenue room in the Western Seattle Hotel. So if you're in Seattle at that time, and if you want to hear our executive producer talking about this topic, make sure you're there. It's going to be fascinating. Brilliant. And Shroud is also at DragonCon. I think quite a few people are going to DragonCon this year.
Oh, that'll be great.
That'll be very good. So if you're attending, you got plenty of chances to see Richard Garrett and Starlong. They're on 11 different panels, would you believe? They are going to be super busy.
Seems like they're adding more each week, aren't they?
It does. And look, to save boring people, if you're going there, if you want to see them, as we say, there are multiple opportunities. It is in the news release. The times and dates are all down there. And the topics, it's going to be fantastic. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on Friday, September the 1st. Nice. And on Saturday, September the 7th, there's 2. Sunday, September the 3rd, there are 3 different panels, topics, and on Monday, September the 4th, 1. So the whole weekend is sorted for you. Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Brilliant. So have a look at it in the news release. The details are all there. If you can get to DragonCon, if you're interested in going to any of these talks, by all means, hop into it. It'll be awesome. Alrighty, and would you believe, shock, horror, surprise, this has never happened before, they're having a weekend flash sale.
Wow, that's great.
Lovely. Yes, another weekend flash sale. They are doing this regularly now, which is great. There's always something attractive and something worth getting. Now, They're celebrating the tenant and door permissions going live in Release 44. They're putting various items related to rent on sale this weekend. So, yeah, have you had a chance to try this out yet, Lord Bordrith?
Actually, I have not played with the rent system yet, so I actually forgot about it when I was in there the little bit I've been in.
Yeah, right. It looks good, and it looks as if it's going to be a winner. You can rent out a room, a part of your property, and as I understand it, you'll be able to put permissions on all the doors so that your tenant is fully entitled to open the front door of your property and fully entitled to open his own door, and that'll be it. He won't be able to get into any other rooms, and other tenants won't be able to get into his room, but everybody is allowed to use the front door, and that's a perfect scenario.
I wonder how that's going to work with those kind of big basements that are kind of like doors everywhere.
Yeah, good question. I have no idea. All I can assume is that entrance to common areas and corridors would be open slather, and the individual little rooms, they would be specific to the person that you rented it to.
So more than likely, because you see those layouts where there's a house with a nice sized room and then there's a door inside that room that leads to a little teeny room. It's kind of a dead end, so you wouldn't be able to rent that out, really, would you?
No, I don't think you would. You'd have to rent those two rooms as a combination, I guess.
That's true. It could just be part of your rental. You've got this little closet room or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's right. But, this week, well, they've got a village inn, a bulletin board, the mailbox, inn signs, property deeds, and backpacks. So, if anybody wants any of those, hop into the add-on store, and they're available for 20% off this weekend.
Yeah, I love that mailbox. I got one of those ornate ones for my house, and the only thing I was not happy about is I can't put it on my wall, you know, right where I go into the house, because it's a placeable wall.
Yeah, I got one as well, and they do look rather nice, don't they?
They're beautiful, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Upcoming events, well, we've got free trial that's happening. Gamescom is on August 24 to 25. August 30, the PAX Dev Panel. August 31 is Release 45. That's coming up closer and closer.
Yeah.
September 1 to 4 is DragonCon. September 22 to 23 is Ultima Online 20th Anniversary Party. September 28 is Release 46. September 29 to October the 1st, Igromer Expo in Moscow. October 13 to 15, SotaCon in Austin. And October 26 is Release 47. So, getting closer and closer to the end of the year. Very nice.
Cool stuff.
Very nice. All right, the Community Trailer Contest. That's ending on August 22. That's getting pretty close now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and look, as we've said, as we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, we did some community trailers last year. They were awesome, and they would love the community to do some more this year. I have actually seen a few of the entries, and they are lovely. There are a few entries that have been posted so far, and the people who did them have done an awesome job.
We have some serious talent in this community for creating videos and sales for our game. It's just awesome.
We do. So I wish them all the best. And look, there are still a few days. It doesn't close till August 22. So if you still have aspirations of creating this awesome video, get to it, and you could win some amazing prizes and help the publication and awareness of the game and get a few more players in. That'd be wonderful.
Yes, it would.
Okay. And of course, there's a link there to the forum post, and it tells you exactly how to do it and all the awesome prizes that you can get. All right. And now there's a community spotlight about Lake Kasabo Player Town. Lovely. And It says, this week's player-owned town spotlight has me, Beric, as I go by in the community, traveling to Lake Kasabo to visit this beautiful area in northern Novia. After a hectic week, a few weeks of work and outside activities, I realized that it had been quite some time since I'd had a full day to relax and wind down from the travails of daily life. I made my way north from central Brittany, past Brecon Bay and onward toward the Serpent Spine foothills. As the road turned west, I arrived at the town of Lake Kasabo. You know, I was just looking at the map there. I realized that I passed this town probably every other day on my way to and from Rift's End, and I'd really never taken much notice of it.
Well, that's good to have in a spotlight then.
It is. It's great because you realize, hey, this is an interesting little place on the wayside and well worth stopping and having a look at. And that's the beauty of these spotlights. It brings to your notice stuff that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise. You would have just walked on past.
Well, yeah, there's just so many places to stop in this game that you miss a lot.
You do. That's right. It's awesome. Okay. Upon entering the town, I was immediately greeted with the scent of fresh pine and the cool brush of a lovely breeze. Lake Kasabo sits high in the mountains, and the great majesty of the views from atop these mountains took my breath away. And yeah, some nice screenshots there. That's a lovely lake, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Beautiful. Now, I wonder what sort of temple that would be.
I don't know. I would guess it could be one of the forest temples, just based on all the trees.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, nice. And he says, down in the valley, I saw the town's namesake Lake Kasabo itself, placid and glistening in the sunlight. Making my way down the mountain, I entered the city proper, a tree-lined boulevard of shops and private homes sitting on the shores of the western side of the lake. Very nice looking town too, isn't it?
Oh, it is well laid out, for sure.
That is beautiful. Tiffany St. Ange, the town's governor, met me in front of the bank. Beric, thanks for coming by. Let me show you around our little town, she exclaimed, shaking my hand and leading me down Main Street toward the center of town. Our town is all about luxury and relaxation, she continued. We want our visitors and residents to be able to take a break from a full day of adventuring and exploring and settle in for a little bit of pampering and indulgence. A block down the street, across from the Oracle, was the Lake Kasabo Beach Club and Spa, situated right on the lake. The spa is set up so weary patrons can take a rest and enjoy the scenery. We have massage tables, chess tables, a full bar, hot tubs, and a buffet. Swimming, fishing, and boating at the beach are encouraged. If you want to get in a little crafting, we have our fully stocked crafting pavilion right next door with all expert crafting tables. While chatting at the spa, I noticed how all the lakefront properties were situated to maximize their views of the lake. That's all by design, Tiffany told me. The beauty and tranquility of this place are fantastic, and everything we do here is centered on celebrating our location. On the cliffs above the downtown district sat a series of resident houses with soaring views of the distant mountains and the lake below. We reached these homes via hot air balloon and soon stood gazing out at the vista. These are the million-dollar views, she said. How could your daily troubles compete with all of this? Now that's pretty cool, isn't it? You take a balloon to get to the upper level houses.
Actually, that's a really good idea. That's cool.
That's nice. And yes, that would be the upper end of town. I mean, you would imagine the mansions would sit on the top of the hill.
All the big houses, right?
I guess so, yeah. Because wouldn't not the view be great from there?
It would be lovely, yes.
Yes, okay. We took a leisurely walk around the lake and then made our way to the other side of town, where the Bushwood Country Club is the main attraction. This stalwart institution has been the haven of the upper crust for decades, but is now open to all residents of Lake Kasabo. That's very nice.
Yeah.
The manicured lawns surrounding the club were incredible. I wonder if they have to mow them every day.
Somebody does.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. The club has a variety of activities for all visitors and residents, Tiffany told me. We have a gust ball court, gust ball croquet, hot tubs, a full buffet serving 24 hours a day, and giant-sized chess and checkers are available. We also have another full set of crafting tables inside the club, perfect for serving residents who live on this side of town. Oh, they've got everything, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got it all organized for everybody.
They sure have. Okay, one feature that immediately caught my eye was the botanical gardens at the club. Tiffany, an avatar, told me that these gardens represented the beauty of nature from her original home. We have a large formal Roman garden and a garden dedicated exclusively to the art of topiary design. The highlight of the botanical gardens, however, is our interpretation of the ruined gardens of Bonnie Doon, a beautiful, haunting place remembered fondly from long ago, she told me, pausing to turn away for a moment, perhaps to wipe away a tear.
Yeah.
I asked Tiffany what the entrance requirements were for living in Lake Kasabo. No requirements at all, she stated. We welcome everyone. Our goal is to share this lovely place with all who arrive here. Many of us are members of the Lunar Dragons Guild, but we also have members from other guilds or no guilds as well. So that's good. You don't have to belong to anybody or anything. They welcome you in there.
And that's great. So anybody can go.
That's right. Some of our residents are new arrivals to New Britannia. For them, we have a free temporary housing program set up. Others are experienced adventurers who have vacation homes here as a way to escape the daily grind. So there you are. You want a holiday cottage? Weekender? Perfect place for it.
Yeah, that's great.
With the tour complete, I decided to spend the day taking advantage of all the town had to offer. I returned to the spa, and after a massage and a full meal, I sat in the hot tub drinking a hearty ale and watching as the sun slowly set over the pristine, quiet lake. Yes, the trials of daily life seemed very distant, I concluded. Well, there are so many towns to explore throughout New Britannia. If you are interested in becoming a part of the Lake Kasabo community, feel free to contact Greg247 in the forums with any questions you may have. And if you have a town or guild or other group we can spotlight, just message Beric and he'd be delighted to get onto it. Wonderful. Okay, the week's featured events. There are a couple. Nice. The BMC are having a crafting fair this coming weekend. Crafting fairs are always great, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
Yep. Besides hooking up with GMs to greatly boost your skills, we'll be giving away prizes every hour on the air. All characters who attend will be given 1 hour food buffs cooked by yours truly. Very nice. Currently, we have patterns for armor and weapons as grand prizes. There you go. That's where I could go. And food items with 2, 4, and 8 hour buffs. Time will be 2 to 6 p.m. Saturday, August the 19th. Now you take the left turn when you enter Black Rock Cove. Don't forget to stop at the devotionals to get a boost. We're just down the hill from the main entrance. That is nice. So remember Black Rock Cove, governed by Ezekiel Cooper, and that's on this Saturday, the 19th. Lovely.
Very.
Very cool. GMs from other guilds are welcome to help out. This is a community event, and of course, they'll have music playing. Nice. Something else as well, exciting. There is a roast, a beautiful roast looking there. Isn't it lovely?
That is. It looks very good.
Yeah. Beautiful screenshot of a turkey. Okay. But it's a welcome home roast party for Kaz Phoenix Fire on Sunday, the August 20th at 2 p.m. Central. So please join us in celebrating Kaz and Phoenix Fire's return home to Port Phoenix on that date, Sunday, the 20th at 2 p.m. at the Chaos Gardens in Port Phoenix. The dress is casual, so just come as you are. Some well-known guests will be present to dish out their barbs to our beloved turkey, who enthusiastically agreed to be roasted. That could be a lot of fun, couldn't it?
That will be fun, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, roasts can get really interesting. And, yeah, it'd be really interesting and exciting to see what people say.
It's all with love, right?
It is all done with love. Yes, that's right. That is, I think, is one of the main requirements of a roast. You can say some crazy and outrageous and almost vicious things about people, but as long as it's said in love, you're fine. Okay, some of the roasters may include Lace, Malhari, Striker Sparhawk, Beric, Duke William of Serenite, Wind, Silvermoon, Minerva, and Sean Silverfoot. So we hope you'll attend our event. Keep that in mind. There's always something happening in the game, isn't there?
Always someplace to go, right?
That is fantastic. All right. Resources, players helping players. Well, yes, we talk about this every week. But every week, there's probably more people joining, which is awesome. That's great. And new people finding their way into the game, sometimes feeling thoroughly confused. So look, in the news release here, there is a link. And if you don't know where it is or how to find the news release, just ask somebody. Find a hospitaler, ask them, and they will let you know. There's a new player welcome forum. There's a player created resources forum. And there's a community resources page. Heaps of stuff. And everything you ever wanted to know, and probably even more, to help you get started in this amazing game. All right, recommended project to back Underworld Ascendant. They've been following it for a while now, and it's taking place. It's all good. They announced this week a partnership with Otherside Entertainment to publish it. Nice. So they're getting close, aren't they?
Yeah, I've been watching the updates on that one. I'm excited for that one to get done.
That's good. The original Underworld games broke new ground in the world of video game RPGs, and the Ascendant team is committed to innovation at that level, said Warren Spector. Early builds already prove that, and I can't wait to see what comes next. It will be published on Steam for PC in the second half of 2018. Okay, it's getting closer. Nice. And you can wishlist the game now. Very good. Okay, last and hopefully least, backer shipping addresses. Yeah, we always talk about that. Please make sure your address is entered in your account profile page, because they'll be sending out nice physical goodies soon. And that will be happening shortly prior to launch, which, as we say, hopefully will be happening later this year. So it's going to happen pretty soon. Excellent. So make sure they know where to send all that wonderful stuff. And that would be the news of the week.
Very good stuff, huh?
Lovely. Okay, yeah, a little bit shorter this week, but it's always good stuff happening, and it's always exciting, and a pleasure to get into the game and do new stuff and explore new stuff.
Yeah, especially with the new release, there's always so many little things you can find to do that you forgot about or didn't know about, so it's fun.
It's great. Excellent. So the only thing remaining is to get back in and see what else we can discover.
That's right. It's definitely time to do it. The weekend is here. We can play more.
For sure.
All right, well, the awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tico for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.